Thanks tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levernier. In this hour, mystery, later on from Richard Diamond, Private Detective from 1950. But first, a broadcast of the adventures of Nero Wolfe called The Case of the Careless Cleaner, an NBC episode from November 17th, 1950.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the most famous brownstone house in New York City, the one located at number 601 West 35th Street.
Oh, Mr. Wolfe. Mr. Wolfe.
Want something, Archie?
Would you be interested in taking on a case involving a woman who was found stabbed to death in one of New York's fancier men's clubs?
Can't you see I'm already occupied, Archie? My Oncidium hybrid is ailing.
But, sir, cash. C-A-S-H. Remember, you need it to live on.
Well, you are actually learning to spell.
You'd better learn to count. We're broke.
Thank you, Mr. Goodwin. Now, if you'll just go away and stop interfering... Oh, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
On your way out, switch on the fan.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that one and only man of moves. The most famous detective in modern fiction. That corpulent, orchid-raising, beer-drinking gourmet who also happens to be a genius. Rex Stout's incomparable Nero Wolfe, starring Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, Nero Wolfe's long-suffering assistant, Archie Goodwin, tells us of the case of the careless cleaner.
We didn't know Clay Michelson very well at the time, though Mr. Wolfe had hung one of the Michelson's paintings on the library wall. But then I guess we should have considered ourselves lucky not to have known him or his wife, Phila. 2 weeks ago, they had a quarrel.
Oh? Oh, Clay, darling. I didn't expect you home so soon. I thought you were going to the museum to see the Van Goghs.
I decided not to, Phila.
Oh. Well, if you were... plan to paint this afternoon. I'll get out of the studio. I want to run some errands anyway.
Why don't you make your phone call from here, Phila?
Phone call?
Who is he, Phila?
He?
Who were you waiting for this afternoon?
Please, Clay, don't start that jealousy routine again.
Don't try to kid me.
You're being stupid, Clay.
I'm stupid, all right, but I'm getting wise pretty fast.
You!
I'm through, Phila. I've had enough. I'm leaving you. So stay out of my way and keep your boyfriend out of my way, too, whoever he is, or I'll kill him.
Yes? What can I do for you?
Sleepy. I want to have a drink and go to bed.
I'm sorry, sir. The Garrison Club's a private establishment. No rooms available to the public.
You think I'm drunk?
Oh, no, sir.
Why do you suppose I came here?
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't know, sir.
I'll tell you why. I came here to see my old pal Lou Saunders. That's why.
You know Mr. Saunders?
Do I know? Look, I paint him, Lou sells him.
Mr. Saunders is your agent?
I'm Clay Michelson. Just call Mr. Saunders.
Clay? What in the world?
Lou, tell this guy who I am.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Saunders.
It's all right, Mr. Martin.
You see? Let's go have a drink.
Yeah, sure, Clay. Yeah.
You know what, Lou? I left Phila. Yep, I walked out on her.
Is there something I can do, Mr. Saunders?
Yeah, have someone fix a bed in the other room of my suite. Mr. Michelson will be staying with me. At least for tonight.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
It's Friday.
Good. Fish for dinner, then.
Nope. I was not referring to dinner.
You were not? I can think of nothing more interesting at the moment.
Oh, I can. My salary.
Of course, according to the Julian calendar.
We're on the Gregorian, so let's stick to it. Today is Friday. Today, I get paid.
Archie, there's a drop.
Oh, don't exaggerate. You can't be getting the cold shudders just because I'm asking for my money.
I can distinctly feel fresh air flowing into the room.
Well, it's possible I might have opened a window 6 inches.
You're insane. Shut it at once.
Nope.
Are you trying to blackmail me?
You think it might work?
Never.
Then the window stays open.
You're fired.
I accept your offer. All you have to do is pay up.
I've hired you again.
Oh, Mr. Wolfe, you've cleaned out the bank balance again?
Well, had you seen those Miltonians...
Would I have voluntarily given up my paycheck for them? Orchids are very beautiful, Mr. Wolf, but blondes are...
The door, Archie.
I am unemployed.
Confound you, it may be a client, and if it is, and we can extract a fee. You follow me, Archie?
I'm already on my way to the door.
Mr. Wolf, I've got to see him at once.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, this is...
My name is Saunders, Mr. Wolf. We've met before.
I remember. As a matter of fact, you sold me a painting of Michelson.
Yes, well, that's why I'm here. It's about Michelson, Mr. Wolf, that I've come. Frankly, I think the man's about to go mad. He and his wife have split up and
such a splendid artist, too. A pity.
I don't know what to do. He's drinking like a fish. For 2 weeks, I've been letting him live in part of my suite at the Garrison Club, but he's just steadily getting worse.
May I try a hospital?
I can't. The publicity. Mr. Wolf, Clay admired you so that time we all had dinner after the painting transaction. I thought maybe you could talk to him. Maybe you could get him on his feet again.
I'm not a doctor, Mr. Saunders.
But I'm sure he'd listen to you.
Excuse me a moment, Mr. Saunders. Here, Wolf speaking.
Inspector Kramer.
Good evening, Inspector.
Got a guy called Lou Saunders at your place? Garrison Club said he'd gone to your place.
Yes, he's here.
Well, see to it that he doesn't leave until I get there.
I hardly do that, Inspector. I have no reason to detain Mr. Saunders.
There's plenty of reason. It so happens a woman's just been murdered in his suite.
Murdered?
Yeah. A Miss Hilda Lundgren.
What's happened?
Now will you hold him?
Do you know a Miss Hilda Lundgren, Saunders?
Hilda Lundgren? I've never heard of her.
She seems to have chosen your suite to be murdered in.
I'd better get right over there.
Mr. Saunders says to tell you he'll be right over, Inspector.
Now listen, Wolf.
Good day, Inspector.
Murdered. Murdered in my suite. Mr. Wolf, you've got to come with me.
Mr. Goodwin will accompany you after the formality of a retainer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, anything you say. Here, I'll write a check.
Good. 500.
500? Fine.
My friend and assistant, Mr. Goodwin, will go with you. I have great confidence in his ability to bring back every detail of a murder, particularly where a woman's involved.
Okay, you photographers, picnic's over for tonight. Pick up your stuff and get out of here.
You sound real mean today, Inspector Kramer.
Well, if it isn't Nero Wolf's favorite stooge. What are you doing here, Goodwin?
I got bored with my knitting.
Look, I wasn't asking for humor.
I'm Louis Saunders, Inspector.
Saunders? Ever seen that woman before?
Yes, I believe I have. I can't remember where, but the face looks familiar.
Lovely-looking woman. Blonde and really built.
Well, she ought to look familiar. She's one of the cleaning women here at the club.
She is? Cleaning? Well, since when have gals like this been reduced to cleaning floors? What's happening to the world? There ought to be a law.
Yeah, there is. She was killed with a knife, or haven't you had time to notice?
That's not a knife, Inspector Kramer. That's one of Clay's Chinese letter openers.
What was that?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all. Yes, it is a strange knife.
What were you saying, Mr. Saunders?
I just said that looked like one of the letter openers belonging to one of my friends.
Who is this Clay?
Clay Michelson, the artist. But you can't possibly think he'd do a thing like this.
I think everybody did it until we know otherwise. When were you last up here, Mr. Saunders?
Me? Why, just a little while ago. I changed my clothes just before I went to see Mr. Wolf.
She wasn't here then?
Well, I don't know. I didn't come into this room, just in my part of the suite.
Your part? Who occupies this room?
Mr. Michelson. He's been staying with me.
Strange wound, no blood.
What do you think you are, Goodwin, a medical examiner?
Oh, but I...
Yeah. The killer probably wiped the blood away. Saunders, have you any idea where your artist friend might have run off to?
I haven't seen Clay all afternoon. He spends a lot of time down in the bar.
Well, he'd hardly sit in a bar if he's killed somebody.
But why would he pick on the cleaning woman?
Oh, this is no ordinary cleaning woman. Get a load of that figure.
Watch it, Goodwin. You're liable to stretch your brain.
But you're wrong. In spite of everything, Clay's still terribly in love with his wife. He wouldn't...
Hello. Where did you get in?
Yeah, who's this?
Clay.
We're your friends, Lou.
They won't serve me any more liquor down at the bar. I gotta find my flask.
Mr. Michelson, may I introduce you to Inspector Kramer of the police?
Who's this guy, Lou?
He's Nero Wolf's assistant.
Wolf? Police? Well, what do you all want? Somebody park overtime? Where's my flask? The one with my initials. I just bought it this morning.
Mr. Michelson, do you know that somebody was murdered here in your room?
Murdered? Why don't you guys go away and joke with somebody else? Where's my flask?
You better get hold of yourself. I said there's been a murder. Understand?
You serious?
Yep. And I wouldn't be surprised if Inspector Kramer here considers you top suspect.
Me? They think I did it?
You better pull yourself together, Clay.
Yeah, because I got a lot of questions.
Excuse me, the phone.
Now, sit down, Mr. Saunders. I'll answer it.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
This is Fila. Who is this?
This is Inspector Kramer. Hello? Hello? Who is Fila? Anyone know?
Well, that's my wife.
Your wife?
I want to speak to her.
Come back here, Michelson. Let me alone. You're not going anywhere. Now, stay back there.
You're wrong, Inspector. I am going somewhere.
Junior's got a gun.
Yes, Inspector. You should be more careful about your gun when you shove people.
Now, look, Mr. Michelson.
I'll see Mr. Wolf myself. Stay back, Inspector.
You haven't got a chance. We'll nab you before you get a block away.
Well, then I'll just jerk these phone wires. And I'll lock the doors. That should hold you long enough. Good night.
Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Wolf Kramer.
Indeed.
Clay Michelson may be on his way over there. Hold him until I get there.
Hold him why?
Not more than 10 minutes ago, he held me up at the point of a gun.
He carries a gun?
It was my gun.
Careless of you, Inspector.
Ah.
Goodbye. Come in.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes?
My name is Clay Michelson.
Yes, I was rather expecting you.
You've got to help me. They think I murdered someone.
You shouldn't have run away from the police.
I've been drinking a lot, but I wouldn't murder anyone. Fila'd tell you that.
Your wife. Was she the model in that painting of yours I purchased?
What difference does that make? I tell you, they're after me for murder.
You obviously loved your wife deeply at the time you painted her.
Oh, here you are, Mr. Wolf. Michelson.
Clay. Good Lord, man. The police are on their way over here.
He came for my help, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I'm glad he did, Mr. Wolf. But we left Inspector Kramer talking from a phone booth. He'll be here any minute.
And we have only a minute to decide why anyone would want to kill a cleaning woman.
I didn't kill anybody.
She was a beautiful woman, Mr. Wolf.
I gathered that, Archie, from your unusual interest in the case.
She was stabbed with a letter opener from Mr. Michelson's house.
Which might add Mrs. Michelson to our suspect list.
Fila? You can't suspect Fila.
You're very gallant, Michelson. Just how was this beautiful young cleaning woman, this Miss Lundgren, stabbed?
In the heart. Her eyes were wide open, pupils dilated with shock.
Details later, Archie. Kramer will be here shortly. The moment I would like to know where everyone was.
Well, Mr. Saunders was here with us, you remember. I don't know where Mrs. Michelson was, but I could go see her and find out.
No, it won't be necessary, Archie. Mr. Michelson, where were you?
Me? Why, I'm not sure. I can't seem to remember.
It's hardly what we would call helpful.
I was drunk. Maybe I went to Fila's. I've been over there lots this week trying to talk to her. Yet I must have gone over there.
Have you ever seen the murdered woman before?
No, I never saw her before in my life.
I've seen her before, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed, Mr. Saunders. I seem to remember your earlier statement to the contrary.
Well, I didn't know her name, but when I saw her, I remembered her. I understand she was quite an alcoholic.
Unfortunate woman. Beautiful woman.
Well, look who's here, Inspector Kramer.
Oh, here you are, Michelson.
And as usual, you didn't have the courtesy to ring the bell, Inspector.
And give you a chance to get this guy out of here? Nothing doing, Wolf. Now, come on. We're going to headquarters.
Mr. Wolf, you can't let him take me. I didn't do it.
I'm afraid there's not much I can do about it, Mr. Michelson.
Come on. You come along too, Saunders. I got to get a statement from you.
Of course.
This way.
Come on.
Very well.
All right.
I just got an angle.
Really, Archie?
Sure, it's simple. Saunders been going for this beautiful cleaning babe. Clay worms in. Saunders kills her.
Perhaps there was jealousy somewhere in this case, Archie. Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Mr. Wolf, this is Fela Michelson. You don't know me, but you once bought a painting from my husband. I've got to see you, Mr. Wolf. You've got to help me.
Mrs. Michelson, have some of this delicious beer. Another can, Archie. And now, Mrs. Michelson, may I ask how you found out there was a murder in the first place?
A policeman came to see me. He told me what had happened, that they were looking for Clay. I don't know what to think. He's temperamental, he's jealous, and he's sometimes violent, but I can't imagine anything like this, not Clay. Maybe some of those friends of his, but...
You don't care for your husband's friends?
No, they all live off him. They're leeches.
Mrs. Michelson, did your husband come to see you this afternoon?
This afternoon? No.
You're quite positive?
Oh, yes.
Because that was his alibi for the time of the murder. He said he went to see you. Of course, he was fuzzy, usual effect of alcohol on the brain cells, but... Mrs. Michelson, might I be a little indiscreet for a moment?
Indiscreet?
Have you been seeing some other man?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please, Mrs. Michelson, I'm afraid your face gives away more than you tell.
I thought we were here to talk about a murder, Mr. Wolfe.
Indeed, but your husband's jealousy might well fit into that category.
Oh, Clay, imagine things.
You're a very beautiful woman, Mrs. Michelson. Now, if you will try telling me the truth, perhaps we can accomplish something.
But I tell you... All right. So I thought I was in love with another man.
Your husband suspected but didn't know, huh?
No. Clay didn't know. He wouldn't have given me a divorce anyway.
You sound as though you want your husband back.
I did, but I didn't even know where he went.
Indeed, Mrs. Michelson. Archie informs me that the murdered woman was quite lovely.
What are you trying to suggest?
You said yourself you wanted your husband back.
Yeah, one woman jealous of another, that's always murder.
Why, that's stupid. Clay wouldn't play around with a maid. That's stupid. Clay loves me. I'm not jealous of anyone. No one, do you understand?
Archie... If you'll see Mrs. Michelson home...
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I can find my own way.
I'd prefer Archie took you, Mrs. Michelson. You wanted my help, didn't you? Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Michelson. If you will just wait outside for a moment, please.
What have you got in mind, Mr. Wolf?
Try exercising your own judgment just once, Archie.
You mean she's the one who's jealous?
Perhaps, Archie. Perhaps she may want us to think she was jealous. Perhaps she actually doesn't want her husband back at all, only to pin a murder on him.
Oh.
You see, in this case, it would be simpler than divorce.
Yeah? Yeah, she might just be trying to get rid of him.
She might, Archie. But then she's a woman, so don't count on anything. She might even be telling the truth.
This is where I live, Mr. Goodwin.
Nice. Very nice. I like Greenwich Village.
I'm trying to figure out why Mr. Wolf sent you along with me.
I'm a sucker for beautiful women.
I wonder. Archie.
Huh?
Does Mr. Wolf believe me?
He hasn't made an official statement yet. Nice furniture and things.
You sound like an appraiser or someone looking for something.
It's because it's November.
Mr. Wolf sent you to search my apartment.
You could be wrong. I don't... Oh.
What's the matter now?
Thought you said your husband hadn't been here today.
He wasn't.
And what's his flask doing among these papers on the desk? Very prettily decorated with his initials. He was looking for it at the club.
Flask? I don't know what it's doing there.
Yeah, sure. You're trying to help, Clay. Right into the electric chair.
But...
His only alibi was his being here this afternoon, and you said he wasn't. Then what is his flask doing here? He said he just bought it this morning, so he must have been here today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's your phone?
Well, you've got things wrong. I don't know anything about that flask.
The lights... Who switched off those lights? Fela, put those lights on. Put on those lights. Oh, the lights are... Get to the lights. That flask... Gone.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Wolf, where's Fela Michelson?
Fela, perhaps you might try the lost and found, Inspector.
Now, look, I know she was over at your place.
I thought you were interested in Clay Michelson.
Well, I let him and Saunders go, for the present. They're clean until I get the medical examiner's report.
Oh, when will it be ready, by the way?
An autopsy takes time, you know that. Where's the Michelson woman?
I believe she had a date with Archie. Why do you want her?
I'm sure it never dawned on you, Wolf, but this cleaning woman who was killed was some dish. Maybe Mrs. Michelson was the jealous one.
Your thinking is beginning to bear an amazing resemblance to Archie's, Inspector.
Also, it maybe never dawned on you that Phila Michelson hasn't offered an alibi for the time of the murder.
You're right, Inspector. Yeah, you are.
Come on, Wolf, quit stalling. Where's Phila Michelson?
What? Oh, I really don't know, Inspector, but perhaps as a last resort, of course, you might try her home. Good night, Inspector. Inevitable. The moment I'm comfortable. Come in.
Mr. Wolf. Oh, thank heavens you're here.
I always am. Where's Mr. Goodman?
I don't understand how it happened. I swear I don't.
What happened?
I haven't got any idea how it got there.
Got where? Calm down, Mrs. Michelson.
I...
Now, just what got where?
Clay's new flask. Your assistant, Archie. He came home with me, and that new initial flask was there. He thinks Clay was there this afternoon and that I'm trying to frame him or something.
Oh, here you are.
She's here, therefore.
This is our gal, Mr. Wolf. She's been lying right down the line.
I tell you, Clay wasn't there.
Then why did you give me this clout on the head and grab the evidence and run?
I didn't. I didn't hit you. I ran, but I didn't hit you. And I didn't take that flask either.
Oh, next thing she'll say, there wasn't any flask.
Stop gaping at Mrs. Michelson, Archie, and open the door.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Mr. Wolf, they let Clay and me go for the... Phila, what are you doing here?
After your visit this afternoon, Mr. Saunders, she decided to come down and see me.
After my visit? What makes you think I was at Phila's?
It was Mr. Saunders, not your husband, who came to visit you this afternoon, wasn't it, Mrs. Michelson?
I don't have anything to do with Mr. Saunders.
Then might I ask why you called him today?
I wasn't calling him. I was calling Clay.
You told me earlier yourself that you didn't know where Mr. Michelson was.
Well, all right. So what if it was Mr. Saunders who came this afternoon?
As he has for many afternoons.
What are you trying to get at, Mr. Wolf?
Saunders? He and Phila?
Yes, Archie, Mr. Saunders, the artist's friend and agent, happens to be the one who was making a fool of the artist.
But that's all over. I told him. That's what I was talking to Mr. Saunders about this afternoon. I didn't want Clay to know. Clay would never have come back.
All right, so it was Phila and me. I admit it, but that's not murder.
I suggest that it is, Mr. Saunders. I suggest that one of you two murdered the cleaning woman. Whichever one of you carelessly left the whiskey flask in Phila's apartment.
This is murder, Mr. Wolf. Not a joke.
Not at all a joke. You see, our cleaning woman was not murdered by the knife found in her body. She was poisoned.
What do you mean, not by the knife?
Poisoned. She undoubtedly drank from Michelson's flask while she was working in his room at the Garrison Club.
But she was stabbed.
True. However, Miss Lundgren was an alcoholic. Saunders mentioned that, and I checked with the club manager.
But how does that prove there was poison in the flask? That she was poisoned?
Archie, would you mind repeating your description of the dead Miss Lundgren? First, as to the wound.
Okay. There was no blood.
Someone advanced a fantastic theory about wiping the blood away. And now, Archie, the description of the body of Miss Lundgren.
I mentioned the fact that her eyes were wide open, the pupils were dilated. Dilated pupils?
Yes, Archie. The lack of blood had already made me wonder about the entire affair. When you added the dilated pupils...
What's special about dilated pupils?
In death, that is a common symptom of poison by a certain vegetable drug of considerable potency.
But what was the point of stabbing her?
The poison did the job. However, the killer later used the letter knife in an effort to deceive the police. However, he unhappily forgot that the dead don't bleed.
I think you're guessing, Mr. Wolf.
Am I?
All I can say is that I was at the pool in the early afternoon.
You're very certain you were at the club pool when the murder was committed, Mr. Saunders?
Certainly. From 1 until 3.
Excuse me, please. Wolf speaking.
Inspector Kramer, medical examiner's report just came in this minute. And get a load of this, wizard. The dame didn't die of stabbing at all.
I know.
You know?
He died of drinking a fatal dose of poison known as deadly nightshade.
What? How do you know that?
Inspector, do they know what time she died?
Time? The medical examiner says 2:30.
Thank you, Inspector. Oh, incidentally, if you care to drop over here, you may pick up the murderer. Goodbye.
I heard him, Wolf. She died at 2:30. As I told you, I was in the pool at 2:30.
Which is exactly how you prove yourself a murderer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I prove myself...
Even the police didn't know what time she died. Until just now. And the body wasn't found until the evening. How did you know she died between 1 and 3?
I didn't know, but...
You probably were at the pool at the time. The maid drank the poisoned whiskey you put in the flask of your friend Clay Michelson.
I tell you, you're crazy.
You planned to get rid of Clay, who stood in the way of your marrying Fila. When you came back to your room at 3 and found that the maid had drunk it instead, you stabbed her with Clay's letter opener to cover up the real cause of the murder and throw suspicion on Clay.
Oh, this is nonsense. Ridiculous.
And then, when you learned that the woman for whose love you were willing to commit murder was through with you, you took Michelson's new flask to Fila's home, confident that it would be found there.
Yes, and then he attacked me and stole that flask again in order to make it look like Fila had done it.
Exactly, Archie. Mr. Saunders, the chances are that your fingerprints will be found on that whiskey flask, and they'll be able to trace the poison to wherever you purchased it. The chances are...
Oh, no, you don't. Careful now, all of you.
Guns bore me, Saunders.
Oh, yeah? I'm leaving.
You are not...
Clay!
Oh!
Clay.
Yes, Mrs. Michelson, your husband has been there for some time.
Clay, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well done, Mr. Michelson. I think you proved that an artist's life may indeed be exciting.
I've been an awful fool, Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Michelson, you might remember for the future that unreasoning and unjustifiable jealousy sometimes creates the very conditions that it fears.
You're being very kind to me, Mr. Wolf.
How can we ever thank you?
By prompt remittance of your check on receipt of my bill in the morning. Good day, Mr. and Mrs. Michelson.
Good day, Mr. Wolf.
Good day.
What's the matter with Archie? You look glum.
Yeah. I always have the lousiest luck.
Meaning?
A hectic case with two beautiful dames. Michelson gets one, the undertaker gets the other, and what do I get? Hey, that reminds me. You got a fee. I get paid.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet.
The Adventures of Nero Wolfe on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of November, 1950 on NBC. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, the first broadcast of the story, The Cover-Up Murders, on Richard Diamond, Private Detective. The same story was reused on the series on the 7th of June, 1953. The first broadcast next from November 22nd, 1950.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Richard Diamond, the smiling gumshoe.
Well, if it ain't Sergeant Otis, the laughing hyena. The lieutenant in?
Yeah, go on in and spoil his afternoon.
You know, Otis, I think you've got the kindest, most wonderful face in the whole wide world.
You do?
Absolutely. But I do wish you'd do me a favor.
Well, sure, anything.
Stop wearing it upside down. Hello, Walt.
Hello, Rick. Sit down.
Well, thanks. What's doing?
Want a sandwich?
I'll take some of that coffee.
Sure. Something on your mind, Rick?
No, just got tired of sitting around the office.
No business?
Not in a week. Got any sugar?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Here. Yeah, Otis?
Lieutenant, I got some guy on the phone who won't give me his name. Says he wants to talk to you. Matter of life and death.
Okay, put him on.
Right.
Homicide. Lieutenant Levinson.
I'm going to say this once, so listen carefully. Tonight, somewhere in New York City, I'm going to kill a man, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What?
Promptly at 8 o'clock, somewhere in this city, I'm going to kill a man.
Hello? Hello?
Something wrong?
Some guy says he's going to kill somebody at 8 o'clock tonight.
No, Dandy.
Crank.
Did he say who his victim is going to be?
No, just Crank.
I should have humored him. Made suggestions. My landlord, for instance.
Be a little gruesome if he really did it.
Yeah. You'd have a hard time protecting 8 million people from a killer you don't know anything about.
Hope it was just a crank. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
If that guy calls back, put him through and trace the call.
Right.
It sure would be miserable if that call was on the level.
Oh, relax. I'll have some more coffee. I had some more coffee. Walt worried a little, not a lot, because the big precinct caters to a good number of cranks every day. We talked about old times, and around 6, I matched Walt for dinner. He stuffed himself at the automat until I ran out of change and begged for mercy. Then he dropped me off at my flat on 53rd and went back to the precinct. I showered, shaved, slipped into my blue suit, and headed for the door. Yeah?
Do me a favor, will you, Rick?
You gotta stop stuffing yourself, Walt. You sound like you got indigestion.
I'm down at the morgue. Meet me here, please.
Oh, now, look, I got a date with a live one.
I'm in on the start of some trouble. It's liable to grow. That guy who called made good. He stabbed a man to death on Broadway at 8 o'clock.
Here he is, Lieutenant.
Hello, Walt.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for coming down. Okay, Hal.
Who is he? Or, who was he?
Brother identified him. Abraham Weiss. Stabbed in the heart from behind with a long, thin instrument.
On Broadway at 8 o'clock.
That's right. Dozen people saw him stagger to the curb and fall. Most of them just thought he was drunk.
You think your boy on the phone did it?
8 o'clock, right on the nose. Whoever did it must have walked up behind him, jabbed him just below the left shoulder blade, and kept on walking.
What do you want me for, Walt?
If this guy on the phone did kill Abraham Weiss and we can't find a motive, that's a little more than a simple killing. We may be mixed up with a madman.
Oh, so I qualify in that league.
You're one of the few guys who really is interested in criminal psychology.
Well, I think it's the answer. You can't stop something unless you know the cause.
Will you give me a hand, Rick?
Sure, sure.
I've got Weiss's family at the station.
Let's go see them.
Why? Why, Lieutenant? Why did this happen to Abe?
That's what we're going to try and find out, Mrs. Weiss. We were hoping you might help us.
Oh, he didn't have any enemies. He was a good man. We have 3 children. I left them with Mrs. Villotti, my neighbor. It's going to be hard on them.
You're sure your husband didn't know it?
No. He didn't have any enemies. He was a good husband and a good father. Everybody liked him. Only last week, Mrs. Dowd up the street from us.
We'd like a list of your brother's friends, Mr. Weiss. Where he worked, people he had business with, anyone you can remember who might give us a lead.
Been sitting out there thinking about that. There just isn't anyone that I know would want to kill Abe. He was a good guy, did his job, took care of Louise and the kids. He didn't bother nobody.
How long were Louise and Abe married?
For 6 years, maybe a little more.
Nice girl, Louise.
Oh, the best. Good wife.
What happens to her now?
I'll take care of him.
You're not married, huh?
No.
Quite a job taking care of a widow and 3 kids.
I'm doing all right. It's the least I can do.
You got a girl?
Yeah, why?
Maybe going to get married, huh?
Well, I'm engaged. I've been thinking about it. It'll have to wait for a while, I guess. Until Louise gets back on her feet.
Okay. Tell us about some of your brother's friends.
Well, I guess his best friend was Art Brearley. They was awful close for years.
He told us about everyone he could think of. Gave us a dozen names and addresses we could check. Like Louise, Martin couldn't figure why anyone would want to kill Abraham Weiss. The next was Mrs. Rebecca Weiss. Tired. The hurt in her eyes enough for all the mothers who had raised a son and lost him.
We'll try not to keep you too long, Mrs. Weiss.
It's all right, Lieutenant. You want to help.
Would you like a glass of water?
No, no. When will I be able to see my son? It's right that I should see Manson.
A few questions first, if you don't mind.
I know you're trying to help. Certainly, a few questions. Dismiss as you like, Lieutenant.
Not long with Mrs. Rebecca Weiss. Nothing that would help to catch her son's killer. So we checked the people who had known Abraham, and there were plenty. His boss gave us a few more names to add to the long list. All of them friends who couldn't imagine why anyone would want to kill a nice guy like Abe. At 7:30 the next morning, Walt looked the reports and poured more coffee.
Here. I'll put sugar in it.
Thanks.
If that phone call was on the level, why would a guy kill like that? Call us and tell us he was going to do it. What would be his reason?
Well, couldn't guess. But if that guy who called did do the killing, you can bet he'll phone again.
Why?
Well, he bragged he was going to do it. He'll want the credit.
Well, I got to get some rest. A couple hours anyway.
Let's both get a couple. Yeah?
Sorry.
It doesn't matter. Lousy dream. What time is it?
5:00.
Oh, I died, didn't I?
Our boy called again.
Oh? You trace it?
Phone booth in Grand Central.
What do you have to say?
Not much. Wanted to know how he liked his handiwork.
What's a good answer to that one?
Well, I said a few things, but I guess he figured we weren't satisfied, so he promised he'd kill somebody else tonight.
Hello, Rick. Seen the papers?
Nope.
Here.
Fiend terrorizes city. Unknown killer murders at will. Police baffled.
Everybody's on my back.
Exactly. What did he say?
You want to hear? I made a recording.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Otis. Put him on.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
What do you think now, Lieutenant? I did what I said I was going to do, didn't I?
Look, who is this?
The man who called yesterday and said he was going to kill someone at 8 o'clock last night.
I don't believe it.
Well, certainly you do. You'd like to stall so you can have this call traced. Well, you'd better listen. I want everybody to know just how stupid the police force really is. I'm going to kill again tonight, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Look, you, whoever you are, if it's the last thing I ever do, I'll...
Tonight at 8, another innocent victim will die because the police can do nothing about it.
Hello. Hello. Otis. The call came from a phone booth in Grand.
He said another innocent victim.
Yeah, so he's a nut. For some reason, he hates the police force. There's your motive.
Well, I guess it's possible, but something sticks in my craw.
Yeah? What?
8:00. Why pick 8:00 both times?
Well, I guess, like you said, he wants the credit. We're liable to get a couple of killings in an evening. He wants us to be sure which one he did.
Okay, so he makes it 8:00 the first time. Why the second? Why not 6 or 7 or 10 or...
Just following a pattern, I guess.
Maybe so. Well, what'll we do?
I got every man possible on the streets. But, Rick, let's face it, this is a pretty big city. And it's 6-2 and even if he does kill again, it won't be anywhere near the scene of his first stabbing.
I guess we just wait.
Yeah, a little over an hour to go.
So we waited. Walt got the coffee going, and I went through a whole package of cigarettes. Somewhere in the middle of New York, probably on a crowded street, a man was walking, waiting like we were for 8:00, waiting to stab someone through the heart, waiting for 8:00.
More coffee?
No.
Give me a cigarette.
You don't smoke.
Want a bet?
Here.
Got a match?
Got a lighter. This is no good.
Yeah? Let's go.
Where to?
Entrance to Madison Square Garden. Man stabbed to death in the crowd going into the fights. Right at 8:00.
A man murdered going into Madison Square Garden to see the fights. Stabbed through the heart while he stood in the middle of the large crowd. We went through the same routine. Identify the body. Question witnesses who had been close to him. See his friends. anyone who knew him.
Name's Leon Ellis, small-time fight manager. No family, handles a young kid named Billy Martin. Wasn't fighting last night.
At 10 o'clock the next morning, we found Billy Martin working at the East Side Gym. We talked to him for a while, but he couldn't help much. So we kept going, making our list of names, talking to everyone, all morning and into the afternoon. By 4:30, we were holding each other up.
Look, we're working with a madman who kills anybody close to him so he can show how helpless we are to stop him. The whole city's in a panic. The newspapers are blasting everybody in the department, yours truly in particular. Yeah?
I got him on the line again. He even bragged to me about this last killing.
Trace it as fast as you can.
Right.
Start that recorder, Rick. It's our boy again.
Okay. Go ahead.
Fifth Precinct, Lieutenant Levinson.
You can skip the formalities, Lieutenant. Your sergeant told you who was on the line. Well, I did it again last night, didn't I, Lieutenant?
Okay, so we can't stop you. I admit it. I'll admit it to the papers. That should make you happy. The police department can't do anything about it. That's what you want, isn't it?
Again tonight, Lieutenant. One more person will die.
Now, wait a minute. At least give me a chance to talk to
you. While you trace the call? No. Tonight at 8 o'clock, and you can't stop me.
Hello? Yeah?
Call came from a phone booth in Rockefeller Center.
Picks the right place to call from. We look pretty silly rounding up everybody in Rockefeller Center.
Walt looked sick, and I felt it. What could we do? We knew nothing about our killer or where he'd strike next. Walt called in the reporters and gave them the story. The papers would blast the department, but it was the best way to warn the public to stay off the streets. The department was alerted, radio stations were given bulletins to broadcast, and Walt and I climbed into a prowl car and started cruising. At 8:05, it came in.
Attention, all units in the vicinity of Zone 12. A 211 in front of 415 West 64th. 415 William 64. Ambulance, dead body. Car 73, come in, please.
73, go ahead.
211 at 415 West 64 is a stabbing, Lieutenant.
Roger. That's it, Rick.
The victim was an elderly man dressed expensively and lying face down on the sidewalk. Again, no witnesses to the killing. Most of the people who had seen the man fall realized almost immediately what had happened because of the publicity on the last two killings. But like one man said...
Well, how are you going to see who killed him in a crowd like this? Maybe 100 people on the block when it happens. Boy, you guys better start doing something.
Yes, sir?
Does a Mr. Arthur Reeves live here?
Yes, sir, but Mr. Reeves is not in at the moment.
I'm from the police. Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Homicide?
I'd like to talk with everybody in the house.
Certainly, sir. Has something happened to Mr. Reeves?
He's been murdered.
Oh, no. No, not Mr. Reeves.
How many people in the house?
Myself, the maid, and Mr. George Reeves, Mr. Reeves' nephew.
Tell him I'd like to talk with him.
And we talked with the three people in the dead man's house. The maid, the butler, and George Reeves, the nephew.
I warned him not to take his walk tonight. I showed him the papers.
Did he usually take walks at night?
That's for the past 15 years.
Know why anyone would want to kill him?
Mr. Reeves? Of course not. You know very good and well it was that fiend what did it.
How about you? Can you think of why anyone would want to kill your employer?
No, sir. I've been with Mr. Reeves for over 20 years. I'm acquainted with most of his friends and associates.
Look here. I can assure you that my uncle knew no one who would want to kill him.
You're his nephew?
That's right.
Your uncle took walks every night?
Yes, every night.
Now, if you don't mind, we'd like you all to come down to the station to make statements.
Okay, we got the statements, another list of names, and a long one. None of these killings tie together. Nobody on the first list has any connection with anybody on the second list. Let's face it, if that madman calls again, we can't stop him.
Oh, take it easy,
will you? Can we?
I want to talk to the maid, the butler, and the nephew again.
Why? It's just the same as all the others.
I want to talk to them, okay?
I'm sorry. Getting jumpy.
No, you're tired. So am I.
Otis, send in the maid. What are you doing?
Fixing the recorder. I may want to listen to it again. So we again talk to the maid, then the butler, then the nephew, and the tape recorder picked up everything they said, and it sounded very much like everything everybody else had said after the first two killings. Walt let them go home and went up to talk to the commissioner. When he came back, he looked pretty discouraged.
I'm sure on the griddle. Solve it or turn in my badge.
I want you to listen to something.
Oh, sure.
I've cut out sections of tape, stuck them together.
Mr. Reeves took walks every night after dinner, and dinner was always at 7?
That's right.
Then he always left sometimes close to 8?
Yes, 7:30 or 7:45.
He was never gone more than half an hour?
No.
What time did he leave tonight?
About 7:45. Weren't you worried when he didn't come back within half an hour?
Well, certainly. Both the maid and I were very anxious.
Were you all in the house between 7:45 and the time we arrived?
Yes, sir.
Where was Mr. Reeves' nephew?
In his room. He went up right after dinner.
How wealthy was your employer?
He was very wealthy.
Mr. Reeves, who inherits your uncle's fortune?
Why, I do.
Was Mr. Reeves ever longer than half an hour with his walks?
Never more than a few minutes, one way or the other.
Who handles your uncle's affairs, Mr. Reeves?
Well, Richard B. Gregg. He's been my uncle's attorney for many years.
Young Mr. Reeves has always been excitable. Gotten a lot of trouble in the past.
Yes, he argued with his uncle many times. No, Mr. Reeves didn't come down and ask why his uncle had been gone so long. Certainly I worried about my uncle, but I thought he might have stopped along the way for something or other.
Okay, so you took out pieces of the testimony and stuck them together. So what?
Just this. Every one of these killings have taken place at 8 o'clock.
I know, and it's worried you.
Now, this is the first time that one of our victims was certain to be out on the streets at 8 o'clock.
Coincidence.
Maybe. Mr. Reeves was a wealthy man, very wealthy.
And the nephew gets his money, and the nephew was in his room at the time of the killing.
Who saw him?
The butler and the maid both say he was up there.
So he climbs out a window. His uncle was killed only 2 blocks from the house. Plenty of time to stab him, get back through the window.
You're really reaching out, aren't you?
Sure I am. What do you want me to do?
Well, the nephew's voice certainly doesn't match the ones we got on the threatening phone calls.
So he disguises it. I got an idea.
What?
Let's put a tail on all three of these people anyway. It's not much. It's all we've got so far. I'm going out to check on something. Well, here's something that'll make your hair curl. I just saw the attorney for the Reeves estate, and he said the old man was planning on changing his will, leaving all his money to charity, not his nephew. He was supposed to meet with Mr. Reeves this morning.
And Reeves gets killed last night.
Pretty convenient for the nephew.
We can't arrest him on that.
No, but it makes a good motive.
You think the nephew would kill two men and then his uncle, just so it would look like a madman had picked out another innocent victim?
You gotta admit, it'd be pretty clever.
There's an understatement. Yeah.
He's on the line again, Lieutenant. I'm tracing it.
Oh, no. Our boy again. There goes your theory. Hello.
You can't do anything, Lieutenant. I've killed 3 men, and you can't stop me. I'm going to kill again tonight at 8.
Hello. It was him, all right. Tonight at 8. Rick, we've just got to do... Yeah?
Call came from Grand Central again.
Okay. Well, what happens to your theory now?
Well, he might do it again. Expect you to react just this way. Who's tailing George Reeves?
Harrison.
When does he report in again?
Checks in on the hour. Last time was about 20 minutes ago.
40 minutes to go, huh? No way of contacting him? No.
Nope.
Okay, we wait.
Yeah? Where was he at 4:46? Don't let him out of your sight.
Well?
At 4:46, George Reeves made a phone call from a booth in Grand Central Station. He's home now.
Well, we had something. A motive and a man calling from Grand Central, but not enough to make an arrest. We waited until 7 and then headed for the Reeves house.
The area is surrounded. He'll have 2 men on him no matter where he goes.
He's still in the house?
According to Harrison.
No, I want to do more than pick him up with a knife.
Here he comes.
Yeah. Climbing into his car.
Attention, cars 3, 14, 15. Suspect heading east. Proceed east on your street.
We tailed him, keeping in contact with the other cars as they stayed parallel. When Reeves turned off, we went on ahead, notified the car on our right or left to pick him up. That way, Reeves wouldn't suspect a tail. About 7:30, we got a call that Reeves had parked. We headed for the spot in a hurry.
Suspect is heading north on Calder.
Well, get ahead of him. Park at the corner of Davis. We'll pick him up there. We stopped at the corner and got out of the car. We waited until we spotted Reeves walking in our direction and then let him pass and followed, staying close. We kept after him until 8:05. He swung out on Broadway and was pushing his way through the crowd. Then it happened.
Where'd he go?
We've lost him. Come on.
8:03.
Let us through, please.
Well, I never...
Get out of the way.
Oh, you push.
Shut up.
You see him turn off?
No, he's got to be... Walt, crossing the street.
Let's go.
Reeves.
What? No! Look out for the knife. No! Let me go! Drop it! Hey.
You okay?
Yeah. Here's the knife.
Young man, what right have you got to hit that nice gentleman? He was helping me across the street. I have a good mind to report...
Lady, if this man was helping you across the street, just forget about him. Go bet on a horse or something. This is your lucky night.
Diamond Private Detective stars Dick Powell in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. This is Bill Foreman speaking. Richard Diamond Private Detective is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Richard Diamond Private Detective on Tuned 2 yesterday, an NBC broadcast from November 22nd, 1950, bringing the curtain down on this hour of mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.